Can I have your attention, please? We have a quick presentation to make prior to the NASCAR Hall of Fame panel discussion, so we'll turn it over to the president of the Speedway, Chip Weil.
Good afternoon again. Hopefully you're going to get your steak burgers. Pretty excited about that one. Richard Childress Racing is entering their 50th season of NASCAR competition and has been such an instrumental part of some iconic moments at the Daytona International Speedway. In 1998, you had Dale Sr. finally break through and get his first Daytona 500 champion. One of the closest finishes in Daytona 500 history with Kevin Harvick. And then last year, your grandson finally bringing the three car back to victory lane. And, you know, to think about how much you and your organization has brought to NASCAR, brought to the Daytona International Speedway is something we're really proud of. You're a special man, and you have done so many incredible things for us. So we thought it was only fitting that we did something to thank you. And so we have a little gift for you.
Wow, that is amazing. Thank you, Chip. Those are three of the most greatest moments in Daytona. Daytona has always been really special to me. I go back to 1965. That's probably what Daytona is probably what set me on the path to want to become a full-time racer. I came down here in 65 to Daytona and watched a race, and I knew at that moment when I left here that that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life was race. And I've been fortunate to be able to pull off 50 years of racing at RCR. And so many great moments. And Chip, I can't thank you enough. That's a beautiful, beautiful painting. I got a special place for that, for sure.
We have an artist that does a lot of special things for us. All the photographs or paintings in the venue are from this artist, and we commissioned him to do this last fall. So thanks to your team for keeping it a surprise. Jeremy Burleson and his group got us the logo and helped us with the art. So. You got a team that can keep a surprise. But thanks again for all you do for Daytona International Speedway, and good luck this weekend.
Yeah, thank you, and thank the press for all the many, many years that you've put up with us at RCR. I know I've been a pain to some of you, but I know you're laughing. You may be one of them, but we had a good time. But we've had some good times with the press. You know, I can't tell you how many great times I've had over the years with Higgins and Wade and a bunch of the older guys and a lot of the new guys. Packers, where's he at? He was in here earlier. Yeah. I hadn't threatened to burn your house down, though. Now, thank you all, really.
Next.
Well, good afternoon. And carrying on with the theme of Richard Childress Racing celebrating their 50th anniversary, we're delighted to have three prominent members of the team present and past and back to the present. Of course, Richard Childress, owner of Richard Childress Racing, Andy Petrie, who was a crew chief for Richard Childress Racing and is now, I think, vice president of competition, if I've got the title correct, and a longtime gas man. He also oversaw the museum at Richard Childress Racing. Of course, Danny Chocolate Myers with us, all of whom have experienced so much history with Richard Childress Racing. And we're honored at the NASCAR Hall of Fame in May of this year. We're going to be partnering with RC and his team to have an exhibit full of artifacts, cars, and different memorabilia and things that have been such an integral part of Richard's career over the past 50 years. And we're really honored to be a part of being able to highlight the incredible history. And one of the things that we're going to be passing out as we're here are some of the yearbooks from the class of 2017, the NASCAR Hall of Fame, which Richard, of course, was a part of, as well as yearbooks from the 2019. And one of the other things you're going to get is a bag of popcorn. You might ask, okay, what does a bag of popcorn have to do with it? But I think RC can tell us, when we go back to Bowman Gray Stadium, your first job in racing was selling popcorn and peanuts, as I recall. True story?
Yeah, my stepdad carried myself and my brother over there and said, y'all boys can watch a race. We stood there at Old Bowman Gray Stadium. I don't know how many of you's ever been there, but it's a pretty unique historical place in today's world. And we seen these kids selling peanuts and popcorn and really liked racing. And we figured if we come over here and get a job, we would get to see some more racing, because you couldn't sell when they were racing. So we sat there and got up, sold peanuts and popcorn. The next week he said, y'all boys can go, but you're going to have to get there on your own. So we'd walk about 5 miles to get over there to the track, and they'd pick us up because it was late at night. But, yeah, that was my first job in racing.
When did the bug hit you that you wanted to race, either as a driver or owner?
I think the very first time was just watching the guys race. And then I would go over there. We'd leave the house at lunchtime or something and walk over there, and we'd stop at Billy and Bobby Meyer's shop and different shops of people that had old garages that they're around. And it was just a lifestyle, hanging out with them guys back in the day. And they'd say, hey, boy, go over and get me a jug of whiskey. Or, you know, all the partying and stuff they did. Maybe that's where I got my partying style from, was watching them.
Chocolate, obviously, from Winston-Salem, the same area. How did you and RC connect, and in what year was that?
Yeah, well, I didn't have to walk quite as far as he did. He lived a little further out, Reynolds Park Road or Walltown Street or Sprague Street. But once again, Bowman Gray Stadium, we would be there. I would be there and selling popcorn. But we found out the selling programs, you made a little bit more money, so we sold programs together, and then we both had old race cars. You know, we were in the grandstands till we could get in the pits. We finally got into pits. They had the greatest thing ever. Imagine this. You could buy a race car and race at Bowman Gray Stadium for $99. It was the $99 claiming division. You could be in the grandstands and watch the claiming race, and when the race was over, you could walk down on the track, and you could walk over and you go, I claim this car. They had to sell you that car, or they couldn't bring it back anymore. So Richard, I think he had he built a claiming car. I think his first car was $20. Mine was $99, but somebody else gave me the money. Said it didn't really matter. Had a sponsor.
I didn't have the $99. All I had was $20. So we just built a car.
Yeah. Well, I had a, like I said, Richard had a sponsor.
When Andy, you were a big part of RCR back in the 90s. And then came back last year. Tell us about your perspectives from basically 20, 25 years ago and now, and how things have changed and some of your remembrances.
Well, yeah, a lot has changed as far as the sport goes and the technology and whatnot. But, you know, the RCR heritage of winning has really never changed. And I felt like coming back home when I came back last year, not much different than the first time I got there. You know, just knowing Richard's commitment to winning, and you know, have not won as many races in the recent, you know, past, but was still so hungry, as hungry as he's ever been to win right now. And honestly, I really just hope to be a big part of the next 50 years. I don't know how many more we can all go through that, but what's to come for RCR, I think, is still some great things, and I want to be a part of it.
Richard, the title of the exhibit, and it comes from a quote you have at the very end of your video in the NASCAR Hall of Fame. It's RCR 50, Only in America. Explain to the folks why Only in America is so important to you, and make that connection.
Yeah, most of the time whenever I go out and I do a speaking, I like to start out speaking. I start the speech out with Only in America. Only in America could a kid with a dream and an old $20 race car be sitting up here tonight talking to this great press. So that's how Only in America. And you believe it, Only in America.
So when you reflect back on the 50 years, and let's just focus right for the time being on Daytona, the picture that's over there, your thoughts and emotions going into your 50th year, and when you think about what happened last year with Austin taking the three back to victory lane, Dale winning in 1998, Kevin winning in 2007, and all the other moments that you've had, your reflections on Daytona International Speedway and Richard Childers?
You know, every time I drive through that tunnel, I can't help but look over in turn four and think about 2001. But then I think of the great moments we had and the great races that we've been a big part of, and all the wins that we had with the 125s and the 150 with Dale and the Xfinity wins and just all the great things. We had our worst moment in RCR's history that day, but we've had so many great ones, and Dale would want us to be talking about the great ones today.
Yeah, and I remember you saying afterwards that you and Dale had a pact. If anything ever happened to either one of them, of each other, you would continue to go. And Chocolate, you've been around for the majority of these 50 years. When you think back on not just your career, but when you think back on Richard Childers' career, what are your thoughts going into his 50th year?
Well, I have a lot of fun talking about this, and I've got my point of view, and Richard's got his, and people that want to know how long I've worked for Richard, and I told them I started working for Richard in 1969. I started getting paid in 1983. But that's true.
Have you ever actually worked on
but
the
but
car?
He says, but you're making up for it because he's paid
he's
you to do nothing now, right?
He's not seen me since 2003. So I want to say this. I want to be very serious.
Okay, before you get too serious here,
yes.
A guy asked me the other week, says, Chocolate Meyer still work for you? I said, I still pay him.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, so I started down here in 1969 with Richard. We drove down here to with a Grand American car. It was unbelievable. Stayed in a campground not far from here, Orange Isle Campground, and a little camper. I think it's called a Scotty with a potty, if you know what I'm talking about. But I think about those days, and I think about all the hard work that went into Richard Childress Racing. I had an opportunity today on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio to tell this little story. I don't know of any other owners out there. We've got a lot of owners out there that were businessmen that wanted to be owners. And they wanted to do something fun, so they bought him a race team and they went racing. Richard Childress is a little bit different. He's a racer that became a businessman. He is the only owner that I know of that for many, many years, when we went to the racetrack to test, he was under the car, he was under the hood, he was in the gate when we walked in the gate. Today, in the world that we're living in today, I still live, Karen and I, pretty close to Richard Childress Racing, and I'm up there a lot. I work there every day, and a lot of weekends I go up there. And I go there, and they're closed, except for I look over, and his truck is in the parking lot. He is dedicated to this sport. He's dedicated his life to it. And I just think it's pretty cool to have watched his career go like it's gone. And the backstory is one of the coolest stories in the world. And I'll just tell anybody that. To watch Richard Childress go from a guy that worked at a battery manufacturing plant to a guy that could buy the battery manufacturing plant is pretty incredible.
For both Richard and Andy, you know, you guys have seen a lot of new drivers come into the sport and make their way. Austin, over the past several years, Daniel Hemric, your thoughts on Daniel Hemric and what your expectations are for the 8 car for this year?
Yeah, I've got high expectations for Daniel. I mean, if you watch what he's done in our Xfinity program, such a professional. He's, you know, dedicated to his craft. He really does work at it hard. I expect to see him be very successful. I think he's going to surprise a lot of people starting this week and next week as we go to Atlanta in these first few races. I feel really good about what we can do with him and Austin both, but I really do feel good about Daniel.
Yeah, I was just looking for a text here that he sent me to tell you kind of what kind of – I mean,
While you're looking for it, I'll share another thing. I played golf with him on Monday, and we rode in a cart together, and so we got to spend, you know, 3 or 4 hours. And it was really refreshing. I called my wife after. I said, you know, it's really neat to see the world through Daniel's eyes right now because he's, you know, he's a brand-new Cup driver. He's so excited about it. He can't hardly contain himself, you know, and it's really neat and refreshing to see Young guy like that is just so ambitious and so anxious to get going.
Too many texts, but he texts me.
Not enough glasses.
No, I can read. I got good eyes. You know, he texts me and thanked me for helping make his dream come true. It was a longer text. I would read it if I still had it on there. It is, but I can't find it. But that's the kind of kid he is, and he's a very, very talented young man, and I think he has a future to be a superstar. And the whole RCR shop is on a high right now. I've never seen the energy that's in that shop because we got two drivers that's really working together, young, aggressive, wanting to go out and do the best for our company they can, and bringing Tyler Reddick right along with them. They're all three just super young men.
Any questions from the folks here? We'll start here and then over there.
Greg Engel, Auto Week, congratulations on the 50 years. You brought a lot of memories to a lot of people. And of course, with, you know, we don't want to reflect on 2001 ever, and I know you've been beaten over the head many times about wanting to know about that. But the fact of the matter is your grandsons are doing great, but there's one Earnhardt now racing in NASCAR, and it's Jeffrey. This is Dale's grandson. Do you have any thoughts about Jeffrey as he's making his way up through the ranks? And I'm not saying you're going to sign him or anything, but just in general, because he was your friend's grandson, and he's the only Earnhardt currently racing.
Yeah, I'd like to see, and I wish the best for Jeffrey. I wish we could come up with a sponsorship it would take to put Jeffrey in a car today. I'd love to put him in a car and let him go out and have another Earnhardt driving an RCR car.
We have some over here and then back over here. Here we go.
Lewis Frank of Reuters. You know, we talked about your ownership. What was your most, your best memory as a driver? And by the way, I have another media admission. Lou LaRosa snuck me into the engine shop on a media tour, so don't threaten to burn my house down either.
No, I wouldn't. I just did that to Mike Mulhern one time. Any of you know Mike Mulhern? Greatest memory as a driver. I had so many. Probably first time I went around this racetrack, I went to the old payphone out here and called my wife, and I said, you know a big sign that says Daytona 500? I said, I drove the car right up there against it. So I'll always remember that about Daytona. And, you know, I had so many fun memories, you know, and as a driver, you know.
Over here. Yep.
Jacob Seelman, Speed Sport Magazine. This is for Richard and for Chocolate. Last year was huge, and I think just added to it by it being 20 years from Dale's win. How were the emotions for both of you different from the win in 98 to Austin's win last year?
I'll answer that for me. You know, I thought it was great, right? I'm an RCR guy. I've dedicated my life there. And to sit there and watch that race playing out, and to sit there and look at my wife and go, we're getting ready to win this race. Austin Dillon is going to win this race. Now, I want to say something here, because a lot of you hear me on Sirius XM radio a lot. For me, I put Austin and Ty Dillon and Chase Elliott and Blaney and all of those guys. Man, we've watched them grow up. And when you are in this business, right, and you've been around as long as we have, and you see the young folks coming through, man, you've got to be proud when they do something pretty cool. And to see Austin win that race, that was incredible for me.
Yeah, and for me, you know, winning the Daytona 500 is one of the most special races you'll ever win in your NASCAR career as an owner, driver, crew chief, or whatever it is. It's such a special place. But to have my grandson win it, you know, seeing Dale win it, I knew what it meant to him to win the Daytona 500 and be able to get that on his resume. That's something he really wanted, and for us to be part of it. See Kevin Harvick win in 2007 and Clint Bowyer slide across the front. I didn't know he'd won a race. I was watching him slide across on his roof. But to see your grandson win, it was really, really special. And I say, when I get asked, I said, nothing's thicker than blood.
Yeah, I can vouch for that. I made eye contact with Richard just shortly after the car arrived right there in Victory Lane, and it was pretty special. You could tell that meant more to him than just any other driver winning that race. And for me, I mean, it was, you know, the one hole in my resume. I've had an amazing career and a lot of success with you know, a few drivers, but never Victory Lane in the Daytona 500. I got to experience it last year. It's pretty special. I'd like to do it again.
We got another one over here. Did somebody else have a question over here?
Yeah. It's for Richard. It seems like NASCAR is kind of coming around on sports betting, fantasy, daily fantasy sports as well. You know, do you see the embracing that it's going to kind of help drive some more eyeballs to the sport?
Yes, I think it's just like any other sport. You know, it's always been where you could bet out in Vegas and certain places. I think it's even going to be help our sport move to another level. But someone asked me a while back, "Do you bet on races?" I said, "Yes, sir. Every time they crank those engines."
You betting a lot more than the rest of the folks are.
Yeah.
Time for one more. Anybody got any other questions? Final one for you, RC. Without giving away a whole lot of specifics, when we think about the exhibit that's going to be in the NASCAR Hall of Fame and open in May, what are some of the things that you've been thinking about talking with your team and talking with our exhibits team that you're looking forward to showcasing and helping tell the history of RCR?
Yeah, we got a lot of history up in our museum, and I got another building. I got a lot of cars and stuff in. And just to be in the Hall of Fame in 2017 was one of the biggest honors I've ever had personally. But we got some surprises for you, Winston. Let's leave it at that.
I love a good surprise. You know, my two of my favorite days of the year, Daytona 500 and our induction day, I think I'm going to add the opening to the exhibit for RCR coming in May of 2019. We'll let you guys know when that's going to be, and maybe some neat surprises. I know that Kevin Schleicher, Tom Jensen, and Dan Simone were up there talking to your team and doing a little shopping, if you will, and I put a couple of things on the shopping list, so we'll see how all that works out. But and appropriately so, going back to the beginning, selling programs, popcorn, and peanuts, 2017-2019 NASCAR Hall of Fame programs and some popcorn courtesy of the NASCAR Hall of Fame and Richard Childress Racing. RC Chocolate, Andy, we are so excited to be able to help tell your story. That helps validate us as being the historical perspective of NASCAR. So thanks for letting us do that and joining us here today. Everybody have a great rest of the speed weeks in Daytona 500, and we'll see if we'll see another RCR car in Victory Lane come Sunday afternoon.
Thank you, Wes.
Oh, yeah, he stole pistons from my place.
I did not.
Oh, he did. Yeah.